among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe in him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Next slide, please. What do you think? This is the main passage of our sharing today. A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son, that's the father, and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said the first. This is the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believed him." Amen. Such a powerful text. So I just want to give just a short context here. Before Jesus gives this parable, we are 6 days before he gets crucified. So you can imagine that the last words of Jesus, all the parables that he is going to give, it's actually to give an inheritance to the disciples that are going to stay with him, and to give them correction, discipline, direction, because Jesus knows that he's going to get crucified and they will have to continue the work by themselves. So I try to summarize just for all of us and to give context where our story stands in the last 6 days of Jesus Christ. So you have Jesus that has been anointed by Mary on the Saturday when he was invited by, you know, the story of Lazarus that was resurrected by Jesus. So they invite Jesus. They have a dinner. There is a whole crowd there because people have heard that Lazarus was raised by Jesus. And you have this beautiful time with Mary where she uses a very a big pound of expensive oil and anoint the feet of Jesus with her hair, showing that this is the king already. She by this gesture, she shows that this man is going to be the king. Maybe she didn't even know. And the next day you have Jesus who sends his disciples to the village that is close to Jerusalem and ask them, "You will go there and you will bring a donkey and a colt for me. And if anyone is asking you anything, you just answer, 'The master needs it. The master is in a need of it.'" And this is what the disciple did. And they brought the donkey. You know all the story. Jesus entered into Jerusalem. A lot of people are excited. People are even asking, "Who is this guy? Who is this person?" Some people are answering, "Jesus is the prophet. Haven't you heard about him?" And so on and so forth. And then afterwards, you have Jesus who enters into the temple. You see, gradually, you see the heat, the atmosphere around Jesus is increasing. Jesus goes to the temple. He puts everything upside down because people went to the temple to sell and to buy, marketing, trade, unlike doing what God called them to do, which is to preserve the house of God for prayer. And after that, Jesus went with the disciple. He sees a fig tree. The fig tree doesn't produce any fruit from his perspective. Jesus is hungry. He wants to eat, but there is no food on the tree. What did Jesus do? Jesus cursed the tree. And then the tree couldn't produce anything. The next day when the disciples come, they see the tree is dried up. And Jesus said to the disciples, "These things I have done, you also will do it if you just have faith." to speak to the mountain, and then the mountain shall go to the sea. And this is now where we have this parable, this beautiful story where that I want to share with you today. So in this parable, the parable of two sons, we are going to dissect this parable verse after verse, because the purpose of today is to get people into the way of righteousness. And as from this moment, please, I will just ask you to give your ears and your heart to hear what the Lord has to say. What do you think? A man had two sons. In the Bible, you will see in general these two by two things. You have Cain and Abel. You have the two thieves at the cross. You have the categories of the virgins. You have the wise virgin. You have the foolish virgins. Here, we have a man. He had two sons. And he went to the first and said. So the father came to the first one. And he gave him what? He gave him an instruction. So the father came and he said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today. Not tomorrow, not in 1 week, today." This is clearly the will and the desire of the father. The father made it clear to the son what he is expecting from the son, to go and work in the vineyard. So it's an instruction that the father gave to the son. The father defined the task for the son and the timing. The timing is, you go today. And the son answered, "I will not." So some translation, I read French. I found this part of English not really explicit. Because when you say, "I will not," it seems like it's the future here. But no, it's not just the future. It's the desire. "I will not" here in French, "je ne veux pas," it means that I don't want it. It's not my desire to do it. It's not my intent. I have my own plans. I have my own thoughts. I don't want to go and do it. But afterwards, he changed his mind and went. I try to underline "change his mind" because maybe in your Bible you will see it's written "he regretted," or it is written "he repented," or it is written "he changed his mind," which is basically the good word for repentance, because repentance is a change of mind. So you see that in the beginning he said, "I will not. It's not my will. It's not my intent. This task that you are giving to me, I don't want to do it." But afterwards, he changed the direction. He comes back. And then he goes where the father sent him. And he went to the other son, the father, and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." This is the second son who gives the impression that he has the intention to go. Maybe he has that intention, but afterwards, what happens? He did not go. Which one of the two did the will of the father? Which one of the two accomplished the intent of the father? Which one of the two accomplished the desire of the father? Which one of the two has been aligned with what the father wanted to do? If I stop here and I ask you, if the father had to judge the two sons, which one would be rewarded and which one would not be rewarded? Obviously, everybody would say it's the first one. So you see that the first one responded clearly to the instruction, the definition of the task, the timing that the father gave to him. And this is the reason why he easily can be considered as righteous, because he fulfilled the plans that the father had for him. And then we continue. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." So we can assume that the tax collectors and the prostitutes, based on this, would rather respond quickly to the intent and the desires of Father God than the Pharisees to whom Jesus is speaking to. This is where it's getting interesting. For John came to you in the way of righteousness. So when you read the first part, you read the second part, you have the word for, is to explain. So Jesus used the first part in order to introduce his thought. So for John came to you in the way of righteousness, the same way the Father came to these two sons to give the instructions, John came to the people in the way of righteousness. So potentially John also had an instructions. He had a message maybe. I tried to find what righteousness is. We can go on to the next slide, please. And then we will come back afterwards. Righteousness is a state of him who is as he ought to be. So there is a way the person ought to be, and he fulfills how he ought to be. This state is called righteousness, and it's a condition that is acceptable to God. This is the broad sense of the definition of righteousness. A narrow sense of the definition is the justice or virtue which gives each his due. It means that you get what you kind of worked for according to what has been given to you. So you see that if the Bible says John came in the way of righteousness, I said previously that, yeah, maybe John had a message, the same way the Father had an instruction for the two sons. But it can also be that John represented exactly what God intended for him to be, because there was a prophecy about John, what John would do. Other translation says, for John came to you to show you the way of righteousness. Or, for John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live. How did he do that? He himself should be an example on top of his message. Or else you also have, for John the Baptist came to you showing the path to take, the right path to take. So I found it very interesting that in the life of John, the way he came to people, we can easily infer that his message and also his life was approved by God in the way that Jesus can use this parable referring to John to tell to the people that actually they were supposed to follow, but they didn't. Can we come back to the verse, please? So for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. For whatever reasons, for people who have read the Bible, I think you can put many reasons behind the fact that the Pharisees didn't follow. I have some reasons also that I try to list. Maybe an overestimation of themselves. Yeah. The Pharisees were the people who got the laws. So they maybe felt they were so big that they couldn't receive any message from anybody. Maybe they just wanted to keep their traditions. You know, they have been taught a certain way. Jesus comes, raising the crowds. It's quite uncomfortable for them to see a guy who just grew like this, and he's trying to bring a change that is going to maybe expose their traditions. Or they just didn't want to change the culture. Or maybe they just like the packaging. I'm a Pharisee. I wear long suits. I look like a very good religious person. And I don't want somebody to expose my heart. So however the person comes to me, no matter the message he brings, no matter how his life looks like, I decide not to listen. Maybe it's their social status. Maybe it's your beauty. I guess you have many reasons why somebody can refuse to listen to the instructions of God. But for Jesus, it's very clear. that the way John came, he came in the way of righteousness. So they were supposed to know that this guy is approved of God. And as a matter of fact, if we continue, it says, but the tax collectors, let's keep on the verse, please. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believe him. Why did the tax collectors and the prostitutes believe him? From my perspective, I believe that because, you know, if you were a prostitute at that time, I guess maybe they were neglected, these people, in the sense that maybe they were despised. Yeah, it's not a good thing to do. So it might be for them a great value if they see somebody gets interest in them to the point to give them instructions to do. So the heart of the tax collectors and the prostitutes might be more inclined to receive John the Baptist than the people who looked religious, than the people who just had the traditions. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your mind and believe him. You remember the first son? He changed his mind. And Jesus is using the attitude of the Pharisees to explain his parable and to point out to them, why didn't you change your mind when you saw all this? The people who had the right heart, they changed their minds because they could see that in the life of this person, there is just something about God concerning him. So I decided to give three facts about John the Baptist. For me, that helps to understand how he came in the way of righteousness. I talked about his life, his message, but I found that it won't give justice if I just talk about his life and his message without talking about his calling, without talking about the definition of his life even before he was born, given by the Father. That is going to show how his life was aligned and matched with what the Father said about him. So the three facts about John the Baptist I want to talk about are his calling, his life, and his message. We are going to read a little bit of the Bible. I hope you are here for that. So let's continue. In the book of Luke chapter 1, the Lord speaks to Zechariah. If you know the story, it's an angel that speaks actually. If you know the story, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they are the descendant of Aaron. So Aaron is a high priest. He is supposed to be a priest to serve in the temple of God. And we know that both of them, they were righteous people. That's what the Bible says. It means that they were walking according to what God says in the Bible. They were blameless in the sight of God, but they had a problem. They didn't have a son. They didn't have any kid. And I guess they were praying for it. They were asking the Lord to give them kids. Because the reality is that when Zechariah goes to the temple in order to burn the incense and accomplish his duty as a high priest, the angel comes to him. And the angel tells him, hey, Zechariah, do not worry. Your prayers have been answered. God had something in mind already for his people. And when God said, your prayer has been answered, God talks about, through his angel, what the son that is coming is going to do. And this is what I want to read. By the way, as I was preparing this, I just remembered that myself, I had a colleague who couldn't have any kid and who tried to pray to God. She was Catholic. She tried to pray to God and ask God, please, you know, I want to have kids. She was not very into church settings, but she decided from time to time to go to Catholic church and pray. Thank God, she saw some of my statues sometimes, because I post sometimes about God. And she decided maybe to have a meeting and talk about it. For me, I didn't want to meet her at all, because I didn't want to talk about worldly stuff, unfortunately. But it was not the intention for her. She wanted to talk about God. So she came to the office, and that day, she said, I have been trying to get the attention of God. Go to church from time to time, raising one or two prayers. I can't have kids. It's been 7 years I'm married. So what do you think I can do? You who post these status. I said, I can only offer prayer. I don't have anything else. And she had a meeting, and I proposed to pray with her after the meeting. But on my way to my desk, I said, oh, Lord, I said to somebody that I'm going to pray. She doesn't have kids. What am I expecting? Am I really expecting to see something to happen? Or I just said it because I'm a Christian. But I prayed to God, and I felt led to talk about the parable of the lady who lost a lot of blood in the Bible. And when we met, I just made a simple prayer. And I presented the story of the woman with the issue of blood, just to tell her that actually sometimes we have a wrong image of God, and it might even destroy the way we come up to Him. The woman of the issue of blood, she came with her faith. And we prayed. After the prayer, she said, I don't know why Christians are hiding their faith. Because when you prayed, I felt something leaving me. I was like, okay. I managed to stay quiet. I went to my desk. She left. And 3 months later, I received a text. She was in Beijing, texting me in Shanghai. I am pregnant. Praise the Lord. I said this story to tell to somebody. Your prayers have been answered. The Lord is hearing your prayer. But if God gives you that child, what are you going to do with him? Is it for Instagram? Is it to decorate the child? Or is it for the Lord's purpose? Because for John the Baptist, there was a purpose. God was looking for a prophet to prepare the way of his son. How about our children? Are we just having children for the sake of post on Instagram, decorating the kids, very happy? Or do we have in our hearts the desire to have people after us who are going to prepare the way of the Lord? So this is a prophecy about John the Baptist. It says, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother womb. This is the mission that is coming. He will turn the heart of many children to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. I guess in those times, the fathers maybe were not good fathers. They were maybe just thinking about themselves, even forgetting the missions that God has given to them as a father. Or for the religious leaders like the Pharisees, they were not maybe fulfilling the mission for which God has called them. And God needed a prophet to turn the heart of the people back to God and to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. So, Luke 1 verse 65 to 66. And fear came on all their neighbors. Why? Because now we are in the time when John came and the news was spread. People were like, you know that Zechariah who went inside? He came out with that prophecy. Now the son is here. This is so strange. So you see, there are reasons. Even before John the Baptist became the John the Baptist we know, there were already rumors about who the person is going to be. And in verse 66, it says, and all who heard them laid them up in their heart. They kept this saying in their hearts. What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. So even the people could already see that there is something special about this guy, about this son, just from birth. So 30 years down the line, when John comes and come to the people to bring the message, I guess there is already a preparation in the minds. So the Pharisees, from my perspective, they should be able to receive him. But they did not. The same way the prostitute received him, they should be able to receive him. Can we go to the next slide, please? This is also part of the mission of John. And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, the ways of the Lord, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. If you remember, some translation said, he will show you the right way to go, the right path to take. So John is going to show the way of salvation. Verse 79, to give light to those who seek in darkness, in the shadow of death, and to guide our faith into the way of peace. So this is the calling of John. John is supposed to bring salvation. He's supposed to show to people what the Lord is expecting from them. He's supposed to bring the hearts of the people on fire back to God, and the hearts of the Father towards the sons. Next slide, please. So after this calling, let's enter into the life of John. Because I just wanted to show how the way John lived his life was according to what God said before he was even born. And it is written that the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. What did he do in the wilderness? I guess he was preparing for the very mission that the Father had for him, for the instruction that was given upon his life. I guess he was getting charged for the challenges he's going to have when he's going to start the mission. In Matthew 3, it says, now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. You know, people follow people who know where they go. People don't follow everybody. If they feel you know where you go, they will follow you. And for John, the consecration that John had, I guess, was inspiring to the people. The authority he had when he was sharing the message of God was inspiring to people. So people who had the right heart, the right mind, could follow John, whatever the message of God that he had for him. And they were baptized by him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sin. You know what baptism is. So people go into the water and then they proclaim their faith. John didn't start baptism. There were baptism way before John. Jewish tradition, it says that they had baptism. They called it in the mikveh. It just showed that you decided to take a certain path for your life. And John brought something new here, showing the people the way of salvation through his baptism. And people had to confess their sins. So John didn't just talk. He walked the walk. He consecrated his life for the mission. And because of his consecration, there was an anointing of God upon his life to fulfill that very mission that the Lord had for him. Can we go to the next slide? I'm coming to an end. This is the message of John. For me, that shows how John came in the way of righteousness. And for me, this is the message that the people should have heard. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching. You remember the parable? The father came. He gave an instruction. In those days, John the Baptist, he also came. He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What did John say? Repent. This is the message that John gave as a preacher of righteousness, which is for me the key to enter into a life of righteousness. The first key is repent. What is repentance? Repentance means metanoia. It means that you change your mind. It means that you had a mind before. You had a way. You had a thought. You had a will. You had a desire. Like the first son. You wanted to go a certain way. Certain direction. Richtung. But actually, you changed your mind. Because something happened. I failed my driving license test. Because I was entering the autobahn. I received an instruction, Richtung Hanover. By the time I checked the panel, Hanover, Flensburg, I drove a little bit towards Flensburg and I was like, oh no, he said Hanover. And I came back to Hanover and that was it for me. And the guy said, you changed the lane, it was very, very dangerous. How do you say it in German? Spurwechsel falsch. So I didn't follow exactly the instruction. And I was going in the direction that was not given to me. Later on, when I even saw the report, it made me laugh because I saw the name of the guy who examined me. His name was Herr Rechter. the right thing to do. So metanoia, it means that you change your mind. There was a way you used to think. You are not thinking the same way. There were things you desired. You are not desiring that. You desire what has been instructed for you to do. This is what now you pursue. What you start following. And this is the message of John. First, repent. So for righteousness, when you repent, we know what happens. Jesus comes. And this is why the Bible says that we are not going to be saved by the work that we do. We are saved by what? We are saved by grace, not by works, so that no man may boast. The only person that is going to give us salvation and who can give us salvation is God. But what is the condition? Repent. The moment you repent, it means that the way you used to think, the desire you used to have, you lay it down and you change the direction. You change the Richtung. So, John is showing that righteousness, it starts by faith. It starts by repentance. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It means that he's showing the way to the kingdom of heaven. How does it start? What is the door to enter the kingdom of heaven? For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So even Isaiah prophesied about this John that is going to make the path of the Lord straight so that people can enter the kingdom of God. So here you see that righteousness, it starts with what? It starts with repentance. This is the righteousness by faith. Now let's continue. But when he saw the Pharisees coming and the Sadducees, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Vipers, we know very well what is a viper. They are very good predators. They ambush their prey. They know how to hide, how to fit in very well in the bush. You don't see them. They can easily, blend in. They can easily blend in. They wait for the prey to come and they catch them. And this is what John the Baptist said. "You brood of vipers, you just wait to catch somebody. Bring it into your circle, your kind of cult, your kind of your traditions, so that the person, you know, might follow you." Jesus even said in Matthew 23 that you are running out to find somebody to make a proselyte. But after that, you make him twice as a child of hell than you are. So this is what John said to the Pharisees. "You brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come?" Verse 8, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." So you saw, we started with repentance, but afterwards, what comes after? Bear fruit in keeping with. What does it mean? The fruit should match what you said. It should match the instruction said about you. It should fit. It should be suitable. It should be comparable. If there is no fruit, you remember the parable of the fig tree, where that Jesus cursed the fig tree because he couldn't see any fruits. It's almost the same here. So after the repentance, you see that there are fruits to produce. There is a righteousness that is supposed to support the righteousness that you have received by faith. And this is a message of John. Bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourself. And this is the most dangerous. And you see that Jesus a lot talks about it to the religious people. Sometimes we just assume. We just presume. "I'm a child of God. I'm this. I'm that." We write on our post, "Daughter of Zion. The apple of God." The this and the that. We just assume sometimes, but we don't take time to really think if we have really changed our mind. And for the Pharisees, they used to say, "We have Abraham as a father." So for them, it was already a status. So, yeah, we have Abraham as a father, then, yeah, we don't need all these kind of things. Verse 10, "Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." John the Baptist, he says, "I baptize you with the water of repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I." This is still the message of John. So he said, repent, bear fruit, and then he points out to somebody else. It's the person I want to talk about. It's the Lord Jesus. You repent, Jesus comes into your life, he gives you the power to do the fruit. "I baptize you with the water of repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Holy Spirit and fire. Why is that? Your heart must be burning for the Lord to do the work of God. There is no way somebody is able to perform what God set for him as an instruction for his life unless he gets the Holy Spirit and with fire. This is my message today. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. I want to tell you, get the fire to save you from the fire. Get the fire now to save you from the fire. My last verse goes back to Isaiah 55, the person who prophesied about John years ago, 100 years ago, and about Jesus, by the way. And he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake what? His own way. Remember the parable. The first son, he has his thought. He had his way. He had his desire. He has his own instruction for his life. And the unrighteous man, his own thought. Let him return to the Lord. Let him repent. Let him come back. Let him change his mind. Because the Lord has compassion. The story of righteousness should be associated with the mercy of God, because God wants to protect us from what is coming that has actually been prepared for the devil, not for us. So the Lord is showing mercy all the time. And while he is still able to be found, he is calling us to come back, to return to the instruction and to our God, for he will abundantly what? He will pardon. For his thoughts are not our thoughts, are not our plans, are not our desire. Neither his ways, our ways, declares the Lord. There should be a change of mind for us to marry or to follow, to get into contact with the ways of the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. This is the message of God. And the main purpose of righteousness is to recognize that maybe the way I think, my ways are not right. And I have to change my mind. I have to give my life to the Lord. I have to repent. Or maybe I knew what the Lord called me to do, but somehow I got sidetracked to something else. And the Lord is calling me back to the way of righteousness, to fulfill exactly what he called me to do, so that I can be righteous before his eyes. I can receive the righteousness that he has given to me through faith. So here is my calling for anybody who is struggling to follow the Lord. John the Baptist came in the way of righteousness. He pointed out to Jesus. Would you accept Jesus? Would you follow the plans of Jesus? And if that is your case, we can pray together. I would just ask us to bow our hands. And if you want to respond to that calling and to enter into the way of righteousness by giving your ways to the Lord, so that you receive his ways and so that you might walk with him with all joy, because it's about the joy of the Lord. There is joy in heaven for one who converts. It brings joy in heaven. The Father is happy and he is rejoicing. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for your word that gives wisdom to the humble. Father, thank you for the words of righteousness that brings life to the dead. Father, we just pray and we ask for your tender mercies, oh God, to be upon us. Father, I pray and I ask for whoever is hungering for righteousness. Your words say that blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for the Holy Spirit and for the fire of God to come to satisfy and to establish whoever is seeking in his heart to fulfill your ways. Father, we commit our ways into your hands and we ask for your grace, for your compassion, and for your mercy to be bestowed upon us. Father, thank you because you are a good father who has good plans for us. For your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways are higher than our way. Father, we want to commit our lives to you, and we want to give you glory. Father, thank you to have sent the Lord Jesus to show us the way to go. Father, we lay our heart, our life to him, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.